Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
All right, Jim Colony here, kind of dragged out of retirement, semi-retirement, here for a few hours. Well, yesterday with Dorn and then today by my lonesome. And we have a star-studded 8 o'clock hour because coming up later on, former Post-Gazette columnist Bob Smizek. I'm always looking forward to talking to Smizek. He has a great point of view. And every once in a while, out of nowhere, you'll see a Smizek tweet, which is always on point. But coming up now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, is current Post-Gazette columnist and still kind of new in that position. Jason Mackey is joining us. And Callis just asked you if we knew each other. I mean, what, are you kidding me?
Come on, Callis.
I was kidding you. That was the whole point.
Okay. Well, I'm a little slow on the uptake here. But yeah, so now you're not, I mean, you were on the Penguins beat for a number of years and the Pirates beat, and now you're on everybody's beat. So which is fun. No, you get a chance to do, I mean, I know that you columnists and you take directions from editors and so forth. Yet at the same time, you kind of get to pick and choose what you want to do. That's got to be kind of cool. Kind of the topic of the day or the week or whatever.
Yeah, and that in your style of writing, I think people who have read me, I'm not just a hot take guy. I'm probably not even a very good hot take guy, to be honest with you, Jim. That's just not my personality. I mean, maybe think about things differently, seeing the nuance and stuff. I like writing. I love this job. I can go pursue features or analysis or reported stuff or any number of things. If I have an opinion, I can spout that too. Certainly others do it better than me, but yeah, I'm learning. It's fun. It's been a new experience. It has been, in a very comfortable pool, and then I go jump in somewhere where it's freezing, and I try to figure it out. So it's been cool. And tell Smizek I said hi, by the way. I owe him a text and a breakfast, and I saw.
Yeah, you should
Smizek
go to the
couple weeks ago.
I went to the Friday morning breakfast a few times over the when the weather was colder, yep. But now I have the golf course gig that takes up my Friday mornings if I'm around. So I haven't seen him in a while, but I will certainly pass that along. So yesterday you were kind of back at the old stomping ground, if you will, with Kyle Dubas speaking after what was a weird day of free agency, but the Penguins ended up signing guys that I recognize the names, and with me it was like, oh, this guy used to be pretty good, or this guy used to play well against the Penguins, but three guys that are, or the three main guys, I should say, they signed a bunch of guys. It was, to me, it was almost like a kind of a pirate-esque free agency signing, a bunch of signings.
Yes.
But it I don't know, it The thing that stuck out to me, and I know that you wrote about this in your column in the Post-Gazette today, is that it almost sounds like, and I know he's not, and you can't because you've got the four future Hall of Famers that for some reason can't figure out how to coexist on a successful power play, but you've got all those guys, and yet at the same time, he's almost conceding, it's almost punting on the season in a way, at least with some of the things that Kyle Dubas says said. Were you surprised by that a little bit?
I was, and it was a very interesting, maybe that's not the right word, sad vibe. I've been up there for plenty where we're talking about Jim Rutherford and he's pushing his chips to the middle of the table and Jim's been wheeling and dealing and doing God knows what, and it's much different right now. You know, even a year ago, Jim, that this is something I was trying to reflect on a little bit. Like a year ago, you see them give up a pick to get Riley Smith. They extend Tristan Jarry. They move heaven and earth to bring Eric Carlson in here and fit an $11.5 million cap hit. Like, there's a very discernible direction, which, frankly, I understand, whether it's been successful or not. You've got these aging stars. You want to try to give them one last kick at the can. Okay, I understand that. And then all of a sudden, a year later, when basically the same thing happens as the previous year, you're doing a 180-degree pivot to Anthony Beauvillier, Matt Grzelcyk, and guys that, you know, the Pirates comparison was apt. I thought, you know, guys that were productive a year or two ago, and we're going to give opportunity to these players and hope that they rediscover that previous level of performance. And that's exactly what the Pirates have done.
And not to mention Kevin Hayes, when they, and I know that, yeah, picking up his, no, but no, I'm saying, but not to mention you add him to the mix, even though that was a trade that was a few days ago. But it's just one of the things is when you say, like, I thought the stuff they did last year, I was excited by it. I thought this is interesting. Sure. I mean, you bring in a Stanley Cup winner, a guy who is a productive forward who can, you know, kind of a two-way guy who can score some big goals, and then apparently, by all accounts, he just had no interest in ever being here. You know, he just never felt comfortable here, and I don't understand why, because it seems like from being around these guys for the last how many years, it seems like a pretty good group, that you, an easy group to fit in with when you got a guy like Sidney Crosby who's texting you and say, welcome to town, etc. But that never worked. Ryan Graves, I thought, oh yeah, okay, here's a big defenseman. You know, it'll be either with Carlson or with Letang, and that'll be good. And that was just an unmitigated disaster. And I'm trying to think of some of the other moves that to me should have worked. The only one that did was Eller, really. You know, that was a good move. But now these are so under the radar. I mean, maybe these will work. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly need to hope they get something out of it, right? I mean, we see the direction that Dubas is heading and what he's going for. The Kevin Hayes contract or trade is probably a perfect example of that. The more valuable part of that was certainly the draft pick. But in the meantime, you've got a guy who, you know, has been okay at times, serviceable. He's an all-star. I sounds strange to say that, but you're paying him $3.5 million. You're going to play him on your third line, very likely, or maybe an upgraded fourth line. They certainly need to fix the bottom six. You hope you get something. You need something. I don't understand, Jim, and this is sort of funnels into the bigger point here, how you can just punt on this season. Like, and I don't think that's what they're doing, but it seems like the future is of greater priority than this upcoming season. And these guys aren't getting any younger. It's, you know, I think they deserve to have the Penguins go for it, even if that, you know, sort of leaves a flop on the other side. Is Kevin Hayes enough? I don't think he is. I don't think, you know, other people on the wings or, you know, rounding out their forward group are enough.
Yeah, one of the things I was kind of waiting for and actually hoping for draft, and even at some point, well, at some point, and it could still happen, but you know, they should move on from Tristan Jarry, in my opinion. I didn't like the contract that he was given last offseason, and apparently other teams don't like it either, because I can't imagine that they're not at least exploring the possibility of moving him, because they've got, you know, Ned was great last year and in the role that he had, and they've got a young goalie that they think can be. At some point, you got to find out if the guy's NHL ready. And I think we've kind of seen what Jari's going to give you. I mean, he was leading the league in shutouts at one point, and then all of a sudden he just can't win a game when you needed him to win a game for you.
Yeah. No, I'm a little surprised by that, too. I think the piece of information we probably lack or could really use is what the potential return is. You know, if the return stinks, then I understand not moving him right now. And there's nothing out there that says they're going to keep him, like, you know, in perpetuity, or that they're not going to be entertained by a deal. So I agree with you. I understand where you could go that. And frankly, before Kyle Dubas talked, Jim, I was more in the camp of keeping Jari because I thought it made sense and aligned with sort of going for it this year. Like, that's the best assembly of goaltending you could possibly have. But understanding the direction where Dubas is going with the rest of the team, shoot, at this point, if you can mortgage him for some assets and just turn things over to Ned and Blomqvist, fine.
Yeah,
you know, maybe there's a third goalie you can sign out there for cheap.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just kind of seen enough, I guess.
I have two. I just don't want to give them away for nothing.
Oh, sure.
That's all. Like, if it requires me to keep them for a little bit and then trade them mid-season and then flip the switch to Blomqvist, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I would be too. Now let's move. Now you're up at you're in Cranberry yesterday, and I imagine you'll be making your way to PNC Park here, probably tonight, because there's a pretty big series on the horizon here with the Cardinals coming in. This is. We're getting, even though it's just over the midway point of the season, we know what the wild card standings are. The Cardinals have already made a move, and they're in the wild card. I mean, they're leading the wild card, I think, or at least they're one of the wild cards right now. Not leading because Atlanta would be, but anyway. The Cardinals are where the Cardinals usually are, and the Pirates need to get there. They need to win at least two out of three here against St. Louis. They got Keller going tonight. And then the Mets to follow. I mean, this is a 7-game homestand that it's not like it's going to decide everything this season, but it's crucial that the Pirates do well and win at least four, if not five, of these games.
Yeah, and they have two very hot teams in town, Jim. I was looking at this last night. The Cardinals, not only are they, you know, very much in playoff position and doing what we've come to expect of the Cardinals, they've been the best team in the National League for a pretty long stretch. They started 15-24. They've been 28-16 since. It's sort of wild. But you know what? The crazy part? The Pirates have a chance to win this series. The two biggest guns in St. Louis, Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray, at this point, the Pirates are going to luck into missing both of them. So you're going to get Jared Jones back. You're going to get Mitch Keller, an opportunity to really show well against the Cardinals. And, I mean, the Mets have been kind of in the same boat. They've been hot lately, a poor start. It is very much getting to the time where the Pirates, things are going to separate. You know, some teams are going to hit a skid. Some teams are going to keep winning and actually keep themselves in it. I hope the Pirates are in the latter category. I think they can be in the latter category based on the pitching that they've gotten alone. They've been in a lot of games, but I just, you know, I worry a little bit about the offense, getting O'Neill Cruz more consistent, Key Brian Hayes, more productivity out of him. Rowdy Tellez had a really good June. Brian Reynolds had a really good June, but not getting enough from Sawinski. On down the line, I could keep going, but yes, important series, and they need to keep this going.
And it's been such a waste of pitching. The interesting thing is that Skeens, when the Pirates didn't need to score a whole lot of runs, they did. When he first came up, it's like
right.
some reason
they did. Yeah.
He injected. He was a great hitter in college too. For some reason, he injected offense and everybody else, you know, but besides his pitching. And then the last two starts when he went out, all he does, you know, he allows a home run to the first guy and then doesn't allow anything after that. And yet they're unable to score any runs for him. And I'm looking ahead to the pitching. Prez's slate, it's going to go Keller, Jones, and then Prez against St. Louis. And then I looked ahead to the Mets series, and we got a bunch of TBDs. Now, we saw them skip Jones recently. I can't imagine that they would skip a Skeen start at home. I mean, that would be, I mean, economically, that's just that would be anti-Pirate. I mean, he's got to, you know, I'm trying to get him in over the, and I'm going to include the 10 game because they go to Milwaukee after that. You know, he needs to pitch three of those games. If they're going to skip a start with him, that needs to be much further down the road.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to skip a start with him, you're going to do it on the road, down the road, on the road.
Right.
And with the All-Star break coming up, there's probably an opportunity to get him, you know, if you can live without him for, I don't know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, Jim, if he starts later this week and you live without that next start, you can skip him over the All-Star break and something like that and try to, you know, allow him to feel a little bit more fresh.
Unless he's in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's a good point, but it's still only one inning.
Yeah, but you know how the Pirates will look at that.
It doesn't matter how the Pirates look at that. You think Major League Baseball would allow the Pirates to say like Paul's not pitching?
He needs to be in that game, right? It's a showcase, And it's funny too how in a lot of instances a guy with his age and just less than just a year from being drafted normally would be in like the futures game, and he needs to be showcased in the real game. Okay, now do you think the toe tap Telez, do you think that he has turned into the guy that they thought they were bringing in all along? You know, can Reynolds continue this hot hitting? Callis brought up earlier, the Furries are going to be in town this weekend, and apparently that brought out the best in McCutcheon. I'd forgotten about that. Is there that inner offense that's lurking that Ben Cherington keeps telling us about?
Man, I forgot about the Furries.
I'd completely forgotten about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know why Callis was keeping that on his calendar, but we'll leave that for another conversation for another day. Yeah, I think Rowdy Telez can replicate what he did in June. I do. I think there was a good hitter in there. I don't know what happened over the first 2 months. I don't know why it went so awry. It worries me a little bit when you look at the Pirates hitting program and you have so many new people coming in here and it just seemingly goes
not
to you
working.
Not know what pretty
yeah.
quickly. Yeah. Like, you know, they have to go outside for help. But in any case, like, I don't worry about Brian Reynolds. He's going to be fine. I've not worried about Rowdy Telez. A lot of what he's doing is well inside of his range of capabilities. I worry about the other guys. Like, what do you get out of Jack Sawinski? Where's Henry Davis at? I mean, right now he's dealing with a concussion and seemingly nowhere close. Ke'Bryan Hayes, as I brought up earlier, trying to find more consistency from O'Neal Cruz. Is Michael A. Taylor a salvageable hitter? Like, you have money tied up in these guys. You have prominent spots tied up in these guys. And, you know, that's where they need the offense to come. I don't worry about Rowdy or Reynolds.
And one of the big, this is getting into the beyond this season, but the Pirates are in a position now where they're paying Mitch Keller's getting paid, yet at the same time for what other pitchers are getting paid for doing performing the way that Keller is right now, he's a bargain if he continues to pitch the way that he does. But then you've got Skeens and Jones. You don't have to pay those guys, and if there's ever an opportunity for the Pirates to go out and spend some money on some legit free agent thumpers that might be able to come in and give you a real major league lineup, this is the opportunity to do it when two of your best three pitchers aren't getting paid yet.
You're not wrong. I can't disagree with you,
yeah,
Jim.
I just...
The other thing is not to be morbid, but I mean, look at pitchers' arm health.
Yeah.
Like, what guarantee do we have over the next 5 years all three of them are going to be healthy and in the same rotation? Like, I hate to say it, and I don't mean to be the bad guy. It's just reality of where they're at. Like, spend the money. Spend the money. You have the opportunity. I'd also argue it's not just the money. I'm actually working on this column right now about one thing that they have that's free. Play better fundamental baseball. You know, throw the ball back to the pitcher as you should. Slide better. Like, there's a bunch of really simple internal improvements. But I completely agree. I mean, this is the opportunity they've been waiting for. There's been low payrolls. Like you said, you're going to supplement this core when you need it. Guess what? You need to supplement. You need an offensive bat. Go get it.
Yeah, so we got some good weather. Have you ever been on a tiki boat?
I have never done that.
So that intrigues you as well?
It does. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what I don't want to do, Jim, is those pedal bar things. You know how you have to, like,
I was going to say Nashville. That's where I saw them.
I don't want to work while I drink. I'll float while I drink. I don't want to work.
Oh, they have those in Detroit. Well, every place has them because I noticed that at Chelios' bar, which is across from Comerica Park in Detroit, that's where they parked the things because we were just kind of hanging out there. We went there a couple of years ago, and that's where the bikes went. But the only thing that concerns me is you're on the tiki boat, and obviously I believe that beverages will be served. And if you're on the tiki boat for a couple of hours and you have a decent amount of beverages, then at some point...
Where do you go?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't just, you know... I mean, we're guys. Pretty much, you know, you go behind a tree. You can, you know, you can't lean over the side of the boat and just, you know, take care of business. So that's the only thing that concerns me. And I haven't seen them up close, but I don't imagine... Is there facilities on board? Do we know this?
I mean, I've only seen them from a distance, but I can't imagine where that facility is located. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Going, you know, through the bottom of the boat?
Know. That's okay. Like,
well, maybe, I'd imagine you just have to make a pit stop and you, you know, pull up aside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would make the best out of it.
I would. Well, maybe we can do that. We'll get your family. We can get
pee on a boat.
We get me. No. We get Linda and I, and then you guys, and maybe a couple other people, because you need to fill the tiki boat with like eight people, I think, right? I don't know.
Jim, I would gladly rent a tiki boat with you, my friend.
That would be crazy.
That would be the highlight of my life.
Well,
I don't care what it costs. I don't care what we have to do.
You need to set your sights.
You are absolutely one of the people I'd want to be on a tiki
Jason,
boat.
Jason, you need to set your sights just a little bit higher, which I know you do.
No way, man.
But hey, no Jason, way. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it. And we'll look forward to your segment next Tuesday at 8 o'clock when you'll be doing it with more radio professionals than I. I think Crowley's I think Crowley's back. Okay. Did you have paternity leave when your kids were born?
I did, but mine was born in I had
so
paternity
did,
leave. I only took a week, I think, with each one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, mine was pretty quick.
I probably
quick too.
Could have taken more, but I'm a little bit nuts.
No, you're a workaholic is what you are. So that's you're dedicated to your craft, and I appreciate that. All right, we'll have to get together soon. We will we will catch up. We'll talk to you later, maybe on a tiki boat.
All right, friend.
All right, Jason.
Thanks, Jim. Take care, man.
All right, doing a nice job as columnist for the Post Gazette, and I'm got to make sure I say hi to Bob Smizek for him. That's because Smizek's coming up later on. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show in general is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So, this worked so well last hour. I'm going to do it again. Bob Smizek is going to join us here in about 20, 25 minutes. In the meantime, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Actually, I do, but I have no idea what I'm going to talk about next. I'm Jim Colony. It's the Fan.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days, starting July 24th, and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
It's been a 3-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning show. All right, thanks to Jason Mackey for joining us. I guess he does every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, so he should be thanking me for still having him on, even though I wasn't aware that he's always on every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So I started doing that. But no, that's a pretty good gig that he has. Bob Smizek is going to be joining us coming up in a little bit. probably about 10, 15 minutes. So Bob and I are going to talk about, I think, some old guy stuff because we're old guys. So we're going to talk about, and I think the 1968 baseball season may come up just because of the current situation where it's not just the Pirates who have a lot of guys that are having trouble hitting. Jones and Skeens are a little bit different, I guess, but I was going to say it's not just the Pirates. There are a lot of teams that basically the pitching's ahead of the hitting right now, it seems to be, for the most part. And I don't think it's as drastic as 1968 because they lowered the mound in 1969. 1968, there were only, let's see, how many guys? Well, we'll talk about it with Smizek, but there were only 6 guys that hit over 300 in the major leagues. And even Clemente that year, I'm looking, he was 10th in batting average, and he was at .291. So that was a big year for pitching in 1968. So we might talk about that. We'll probably talk about, there were a couple phrases that are new that might kind of, or techniques, different things that kind of bug me as an older person who follows sports. So we'll probably talk about some of that stuff. In the meantime, I'm not sure if I want to talk about getting kicked in the groin, let's say I wanted to eat an assortment of nuts because I enjoy eating. Can I say nuts?
You say nuts.
I can say that. All right. So Nick Callis is making another guest appearance here. I'm Jim Colony, by the way, and I'm with until 10 o'clock, and then that'll be it for me until probably November or when it gets cold in October. I should say the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury firm. Well, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So you can text us at 412-923-9870, but we can't read it because neither Nick nor I can get into the text line thing.
I hate to interrupt you. You botched that number.
Wait, what'd I say? 928. Oh, did I say 923?
You said 982-9870.
I did? Yeah. I just pulled like an Al Woods.
You did.
937. No, 973 the
nope.
Fan. Wait, what? Okay. It's 928, right? 412-928-9370.
Yep. There you go.
And I didn't say that?
No.
Really? I thought I did.
You did not say that.
Wow. Early onset dementia. I better take a cognitive test and identify some animals, which I'm sure I will pass with flying colors. That's like a faux pas right there. I even have it written down, although I didn't look at where I had it written down at 412-928-9370.
You put way too many eights in there, yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can't have two crazy eights. Listen to the Starkey Show. Speaking of crazy, listen to the Starkey Show. Isn't it the Joe Show? Why does it say the Starkey Show here?
It's the Joe Starkey Show.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this says Starkey Show, but listen to the Joe Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. That's noon to those of us, to the rest of us, at 937thefan.com's contesting page. What do you think it's going to be this week, Nick? Starkey's Card of the Week.
I don't know.
It's usually something contemporary. How about
Penguins in the news? Maybe the Penguins card.
You're thinking
maybe an Olympic
like
card. Maybe we'll throw a wrench in there because the Olympics are starting here soon.
Kurt Angle.
Why him?
Oh, it's true. From the Olympics?
Oh.
Kurt Angle's in the Olympics. I mean, come on. It's true. It's damn true. So it could be that. I'm thinking now we don't, and I don't follow the NBA anywhere near like what I used to, which is to say not at all. Both of the Celtics are now signed to gazillion-dollar contracts, Tatum and Brown. So there's a possibility there could be that those guys have been in the news, so that could be a possibility. Okay, so, Nick, what do you think? Now, there's no way for us to answer this question. We probably have to bring the lovely Amanda was stopped in to say hi, which was very nice. We probably have to yell like Amanda. Either of the Amandas, because both Amandas are here. Amanda from the Y108 morning show or Melanie's here, Mel Taylor's here. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably have to bring them into the discussion to discuss this of what's more painful, giving birth or getting kicked in the nuts.
Giving birth.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause, because they I kind of stole this. I stole this. There was a long drawn out joke here that was kind of funny because it's got a guy's contemplating this whole question because it's a guy thinking about it. And I think most people off the surface would say giving birth. But this one guy, as part of this joke, comes to the conclusion that getting kicked in the nuts is more painful. And here's why. Because a year or so after giving birth, a woman will often say, it would be nice to have another child. But you never hear a guy say, you know, I would really like another kick in the nuts.
That's fair.
That's an interesting reasoning that I guess the woman forgets about. Okay, but there's no payoff in getting kicked in the nuts.
No, and you got
a payoff by, you know, when you have kids, then there's a payoff there.
I know there's a lot of sedatives they have now to make it less painful. But I think natural birth is, if it were like completely natural, no medicine involved, I think that would be very bad and terrible.
I can't remember, and I can't remember how long after our older son was born, like how long after Chris was born before Linda said, I think we should have another baby. I'm thinking it had to be even more than a year. But as it turns out, they're 3.5 years apart. So, but it wasn't like we waited a little bit until we had more money, I guess. But you know, it's just one of those things. So yeah, but yeah, you never hear a guy say, hey, yeah, I think I'd like to get kicked in the nuts again. And then the women, or not all of them, but you know, some women, a good portion of them, we'll say, yeah, I think it's, hey, well, let's have another child.
Do you ever see that picture of me getting hit in the nuts with a baseball?
No. What is this like?
We'll go over
this
that.
This is like from The Simpsons, where Abe Simpson gets, here's an old man getting hit nuts with a football. And good old Abe Simpson gets it. I got that happened. I've told this story before, and I guess now we call it dodgeball, but bombardment, we called it in high school. Love that game with volleyballs. And you line up, you know, teams on either side of the gym, each, you know, you got a couple volleyballs there, and you just whip it at the other guys on the other side as hard as you can. Now, if you catch, you know, you've seen the dodgeball movie. If you catch it, you're out. If you're, people know how this is played. You get hit, you don't catch it, you're out. If you catch it, the guy who throws it is out. And we were at the end of the period, and I had a volleyball, and then Junie Bergeron, who was the best pitcher on the baseball team, he had a ball. He was on the other side. And so we're kind of pussyfooting around. The gym teacher got kind of irritated with us because neither of us was making a move to try to end the game. And he goes, look, here's what I'm going to do. He goes, you toss me the balls. I'm going to put them out in the middle of the gym. You guys line up on the end. I'll blow the whistle. And then whoever gets there first is going to win because you'll have both of the balls. So I was faster. I knew I was faster than he was by a little bit. So I'm like, okay, I like my chances. I toss the ball to the gym teacher. He goes, Colony, you are so gullible. And then he tosses the other ball to Bergeron. So he's got both balls. I got none. Well, I did have two balls. And a little while later, they hurt because you know how they say you can't move the midsection when you know, whatever. And he wound up through that thing. And I had, and I just, I didn't even think to catch it because it was kind of low and then pop. And it made that, there's a sound that it makes when you get hit there. Like and with a volleyball, it's like a hollow sound, and it just, you hear the sound, and then you go 1,001, 1,002, and then agony absolutely descends upon your body when you get hit like that. There's like a delay, and then it just, so that was my big getting hit in the groin moment. So that's it. I want to hear about yours, though, too. But first, we got to get a hold of Bob Smizek. And Smizek's going to be joining us next, and we're looking forward to that. I'm Jim Colony on the Fan Morning Show. All right, with you until 10 o'clock as Bob clears his throat. we got to get ready. Callis put the mic up a little bit too quickly. First, I have to tell you a couple of things. Pretty soon, it's going to be the 50-minute mark. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And the other part is, as I swallow the rest of my apple, the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And that brings us to, because I like clearing my throat too, to my good friend Bob Smizek. Bob, how are you today?
Jim, I'm doing well. I hope you are too.
I am. I'm doing okay. I've only got a little over an hour left, and then I can go back into my little cubby And I apologize for not being able, or for not, you know, joining you guys for your Friday morning breakfast.
Everyone is very disappointed.
I enjoyed immensely, but I need to earn some retirement income, so I pretty much work at the golf course every Friday as needed. And things are very busy, so they need me on Friday. But I'll be back when the weather turns. I will. I shall return to your Friday morning breakfast.
You're always welcome, Jim.
I appreciate that, Jason.
You steal my thunder at the breakfast, but that's okay.
No, that's okay, Jason. I thought Kenny Steinberg did, but anyway, Jason Mackey sends his regards. He was on earlier, and he sounded interested in actually joining the breakfast. But I think, I mean, he's a little young for that breakfast, isn't he?
He's about 30 years too young, I'd say.
It isn't. I want to run. Actually, you pointed out something the other day. I can't remember the tweet exactly, but it was on point, and it was basically about the lack of offense, et cetera, et cetera. But that's something that isn't just peculiar to the Pirates this year. I noticed when I went on my little ballpark tour with my cousin Dave, and we went to a game in Cleveland, and then we went to a game in Cincinnati, and we actually had seen the Reds here, that even on the Guardians, who have a first-place team, and they do have some good hitters in the middle of their lineup, and their leadoff hitter is unbelievable right now. But the bottom of everybody's order, it seems, in the major leagues is like 200 or below. What's going on here in your learned opinion?
Well, Jim, first of all, you would think the Pirates are dead last in runs scored in MLB, and they're not. They're certainly not near the top. Last time I checked, they were 24th or 25th, which surprised me because you would think they'd be 29th or 30th. Their catchers, as horrible as they are, aren't the worst offensive group of catchers in the league. So I'm just reinforcing your point. The hitting is down everywhere. It's too bad. The pitchers have become so dominant that I think something needs to be done. I have a couple ideas, but I think that diminishes the game for a lot of people.
Well, we're certainly speaking of older people, and I was actually only a kid back then, and you were a little bit older than I was. But you know, in 1968, that's Bob Gibson had the famous on the back of the baseball card 1.12 ERA. Games seemed to take about an hour and a half, depending on the pitching matchup. There were only five major league hitters, or six, I should say, that hit over 300. And then they ended up moving the mound or lowering the mound the next year. So what are your ideas that to bring? And because, and we all know, hey, look, when they overlooked in the mid to late 90s, they certainly overlooked any kind of an enhancement that was going on around Major League. When everybody started hitting home runs, Major League encouraged that bit of offense. And they like offense. And what are your ideas to do something about it?
Well, first of all, I would limit the number of pitchers on a roster to 12. It's now 13. And maybe they wouldn't be as quick to pull guys in the fifth inning and bring in four guys who throw 98 miles an hour. I think the number of pitchers makes it more difficult for hitters because, you face the starter twice. Next two times you come up, you're facing a guy who's throwing 98, 99, or 100 miles an hour. And I really think they should consider or think about moving back the mound. I know that sounds crazy, and I know that people would be terrified about what it would do to the arms of pitchers. But I think if moved back gradually, it would not be as daunting to the pitcher's arms. And I really think it would make for a better game. Well, it's just not a good game today with the pitchers throwing from 60 feet, 6 inches.
But you know what's interesting about that, though, Bob, is, and maybe interesting is not quite the right word for this, is that even though the pitching is dominant, if you put out a squad of pitchers that are currently unable to pitch because of arm trouble, you're looking at that's two full all-star rosters. Of pitchers, so it's kind of it's a dichotomy of sorts that it doesn't on the one hand it doesn't make any sense because not all the best pitchers but many of the best pitchers aren't even pitching right now because of arm trouble.
Jim, I have a theory. Back in the 40s or 50s or 60s, if you were the hardest thrower on your little league team or your high school team, you didn't necessarily become a pitcher. Now, as soon as anyone shows any ability to throw the ball hard, they're immediately made a pitcher. So all the best players, all the most all the most talented arms are now pitchers. That wasn't the case 30 years ago, and you don't see it so much in Latin players because they don't, in Latin America, Dominican, they do not take the best arms and move them into the pitcher. But in the USA, that's what they do, and it just makes a slightly more elite group of pitchers.
And interesting, and you know, there's a local example of the opposite of that, which is Matt Clement, who was a third baseman at Butler, and he didn't really do much pitching at all, and yet then they realized, oh, wait a minute, this kid could really make an excellent pitcher. That's kind of the opposite end of that, whole
that's
deal.
That's a good point, but today, young Matt Clement would have been pitching since he was 8 years old.
Probably some. Oh, speaking of pitching, I want to do a couple of old guy things, just because.
Me and the old guy thing?
Well, no, some phrases and some different things. But when did now young Nick Callis here? He's a baseball aficionado, and so he tells me that the sweeper has been around for a long time. I don't remember seeing, you know, when the pitch is described as sweeper, I always thought that was like a hanging slider, which wasn't a good thing. So what do you make of the sweeper?
Well, I think they're just trying to, I think it's a little bit of marketing involved. I think they're coming up with new names. How can anyone tell the difference between a cutter and a slider? Or there's this 18 different pitches. I don't know how they can tell the difference. But I think it's more a marketing thing, Jim. And I think it's pretty obvious, they told the announcers, particularly, start using this terminology.
Well, and then there's the splinker, which is a thing unto itself with Paul Skeens.
The splinker is a thing unto itself, no question about it.
But
Skeens can do whatever he wants.
Oh, can he? I mean, and there's no way. I kind of, because a thought crept into my head yesterday when I was on with Doran, that wouldn't it be something if somehow the Pirates maneuvered it so that they didn't allow Skeens to pitch in the All-Star game? Now, I know he first has to get selected, but I can't imagine. He's got to pitch in the All-Star game, right? I mean, what else is the All-Star game for?
Well, he should start the All-Star game. I agree with you, Jim. But what if he pitches the Sunday before the All-Star game?
Oh.
You can't deny the Pirates the right to do that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that would rear its. Yeah, you're absolutely. I forgot about that.
If the Sunday before the All-Star game is a home game, they're definitely trying to make sure he pitches that game.
Okay, now here's something else that this has bugged me since I was a kid, quite honestly. But because there was a kid in our little league that exaggerated the art of pitch framing. Pitch framing to me means that the catcher doesn't think that the pitch is a strike. And these guys, they don't frame pitches. They move their frickin' glove, you know, what, up to 6 inches. And if I'm an umpire and I see a catcher do that, that tells me the catcher doesn't think it's a strike, so I'm calling it a ball. You know, I don't – do you understand that? Because it doesn't make any sense to me how they get away with it.
I agree with you 100%, Jim. A lot of people who know more about baseball than I do think framing is a very legitimate, very important part of the game. If that is the case, the umpires are enormously incompetent. They are looking over the head or the shoulder of the catcher. They can see where the ball passes home plate, and they can see after it passes home plate, the catcher pulls it in. I don't believe in framing, Jim. I really don't. But as I said, a lot of people do, and they know more than I do. But I think the whole concept is a little crazy. I can't wait to get automatic balls and strikes, and there'll be no more framing.
All right, talking to Bob Smizek here for a couple more minutes on the Fan Morning Show. I wanted to, just in the pitch framing thing, the one position I wasn't any good at any position, but I never caught. I was never a catcher. So when the North Allegheny, when our kids were coming up playing youth baseball, the NA high school coaches had a clinic, you know, a little clinic for youth coaches. And I paid particular attention to catching because that's something that I didn't really know anything about. And it was actually Bob Walk's sons. One of his kids was a catcher at NA at the time. And
right.
The coaches were talking about, they did talk about pitch framing, but it was a very subtle move of the wrist where you'd catch it and then you just kind of, you didn't move the glove, but you moved your wrist. And I think they emphasized that you don't move the mitt because you're telling the guy it's not a strike, but the very subtle movement of the wrist that wrist, that's actually pitch framing. So I'm going to run one more phrase by, or actually it's a word, I guess, a word slash phrase that I know you probably really enjoy this. How do you feel about the Euro step, Bob?
I'm unfamiliar with that. Jeff.
The Euro step. You mean like the fourth step that they take in the NBA these days?
Oh, I thought it was five.
I miscounted that.
My brother was the referee for 30 years, high school and college. He can't believe it. I tend to agree with him, but you know what? It makes for a better game, and that's what people love to see. So I think the NBA may have something going in making the rules adapt to what the people like.
You know, and you mentioned just another thought just popped into my head here, because you talked about, you know, possibly moving the pitching mound back to maybe, what, 60 feet, 61 feet, whatever, moving it back a little bit. I'm wondering if in our lifetime, which I guess has fewer and fewer days left as we go along here, but that if they're going to raise, when you think about the Ben, I know that there were 7-footers like Wilt Chamberlain back in the late, you know, the 50s and so forth, but players are so tall now, and they take up so much, you know, there's just not a whole lot of space on a basketball floor. I'm kind of surprised at some point that the rim's not going to get raised above 10 feet just because of the players are getting bigger all the time. And even the court itself, could it be wider? Because there's just not enough space on a basketball floor because guys are so tall with such large wingspans.
All true, Jim. And I'll tell you something. I once had a Q&A with Billy Packer during the NCAA tournament. He brought up the suggestion maybe they should play with only 4 people. And that makes, whenever I played pickup, wherever I played pickup, it was always 4 guys on the side because the courts usually weren't that big. I really think the size of the players, the great athleticism of the players, the game would probably be better with 4 players.
See, there's some old school talk that's very progressive, don't you think, Bob?
Absolutely. You and I are ahead of the game, Jim.
Yes, we are. way ahead of the game. Bob, thank you very much. It's always nice chatting with you.
My pleasure, Jim.
And we'll have to keep in touch more often. Thanks much.
Great. Same here.
Appreciate it. All right. I love Smizek. He's just great. And he's still into it. I'm admittedly just not as much into stuff as I used to be. Bob is still completely invested in all the sports, and that is absolutely tremendous. All right, coming up next, we're going to have Jesse Marshall, because Doran basically said Jesse was going to come. I kidded Jesse about, well, wait a minute, why don't you come on, you know, meaning today, when I'm going to be here by myself. And then Doran said, okay, Jesse's going to be on tomorrow. So, well, Jesse's going to be back. And because quite a bit did happen, Penguin hockey-related stuff that did happen yesterday. So we'll talk about all things Penguins and all things hockey coming up here when the Fan Morning Show continues. First, however, we have fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today's high, 84. It's going to be clear overnight with a low of 55. And then tomorrow's high, 89 degrees.
Hey, everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days, starting July 24th, and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen.
Touchdown!
Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear wheel drive and 361 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature, options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Anime Ham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend. That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Anime Ham, your anime destination.
It's been a three-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.